Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
As the struggle for freedom grows, America continues its attack against Mumia Abu-Jamal.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
During September, many allies joined the struggle to support justice for Mumia Abu-Jamal as rallies, concerts, art shows, educational events, and information distribution intensified. The International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal organized events worldwide to bring attention to Mumia's case. The Maoist Internationalist Movement and the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League continued efforts during our first annual End the American Lockdown Month to build support for the freedom of Mumia and all incarcerated political leaders and to build opposition to the imperialist prison system. MIM and Rail contingents attended events in support of Mumia and to organize for proletarian-led anti-imperialist revolution. Amidst the growing movement to support Mumia, America continues its push for execution of this innocent man, framed because of his political activities. MIM has previously reported on the bourgeois press building public opinion against Mumia and the phony confession that Philip Bloch claimed to have heard Mumia make. Also, the Fraternal Order of Pigs has called for a boycott of businesses and individuals connected to the movement to support Mumia. And most recently, the United Snakes Supreme Kangaroo Court refused to hear Mumia's appeal that his original trial was unfair and unconstitutional. It is only through repression that imperialism can continue. This is the reason that Mumia was framed in the first place. It is also the reason America has increased its prison population to 2 million people. MIM builds support for the freedom of Mumia in the same context as that of the Black Panther Party's work, internationalism. We urge more supporters to join the side of anti-imperialism. We cannot be satisfied with one victory, nor will we be destroyed by one loss. We must expose specific imperialist crimes, but continue to emphasize that the evil, violent system of imperialism is at the root of the individual crimes committed by the state. The United Snakes Supreme Court announced on October 4 that it will not hear Mumia's appeal during its current term. The court refused to hear a cert writ from Mumia. The writ of cert was a request for the Supreme Court to intervene early in the appeals process. The good news is that this does not mean the Supreme Court or other courts cannot rule on the merits of the appeal in the future. The bad news is that this was reported in the wire services to imply that this was a final rejection from Mumia. The writ was about the violation of Mumia's Sixth Amendment rights during his trial. The Sixth Amendment is supposed to guarantee a fair trial before a jury of one's peers. Mumia's original trial and the reluctance of the court system to examine that mockery of justice loudly and clearly testifies to the rotten nature of American injustice. Mumia attempted to represent himself at his original trial, but was denied this right by the blatantly biased Judge Szabo. When Mumia attempted to defend himself as best he could, Szabo removed him from the courtroom. Mumia was then not able to follow the proceedings from outside the courtroom and was refused attendance to a meeting in Szabo's chambers about the removal of a juror. The next step for Mumia and his attorneys will be to file a federal writ of habeas corpus to begin the normal federal appeals process. But because of the 1996 Effective Death Penalty Act, the federal courts give a presumption of correctness to state court findings. This underscores the fallacy that America's courts ultimately bring out the truth. Judge Szabo, the original Kangaroo Court's judge, is presumed correct despite his well-proven bias. MIM and Rail were present at the 100 Cities rallies across the country. We talk with people about the state's attack against Mumia and urge them to join the struggle against imperialism in its entirety. MIM unites with those who merely see the imprisonment of political leaders as unjust. At the same time, we urge activists to examine the underlying reason for the leader's imprisonment. Mumia is a former Black Panther Party member and remains an outspoken black leader and staunch anti-imperialist. Mumia was framed for the righteous 1981 killing of a Philadelphia cop engaged in an act of police brutality. The Philly police and power structure had long hated Mumia for his political activity. They created an opportunity to silence his activism by conducting a bogus trial and convicting him of murder. Revolutionaries who fought for national liberation of America's internal semi-colonies have been murdered and imprisoned because they fought to end the oppressive imperialist system. We must struggle for the freedom of political activists in the context of continuing to fight imperialism itself. MIM agreed with some of the masses' comments regarding the importance of youth in the revolutionary struggle. To paraphrase, youth make the revolution, Young people are always at the forefront of revolutionary struggles. Some oppressed nation youth discuss their immediate struggles against funding cuts to their schools and the dismantling of remedial programs. The youth had become supporters of Mamiya's freedom because, quote, the attack on Mamiya and the attack on their schools was the same attack. This is the important connection to make as we build a stronger alliance between students and prisoners. As MIM promoted our Serve the People Free Books for Prisoners program elsewhere, reactionaries told MIM, prisoners should not be sent books because they should not have access to knowledge. After all, knowledge is power. This is the same statement that America makes about all members of oppressed nations when it expands funding for the pigs and prisons as it decreases access to education. The progressive youth also pointed to lessons regarding internationalism learned from activism. For instance, the movement to free Mamiya has grown in part because of international support, as demonstrated through rallies at U.S. embassies and other countries. MIM is admittedly a small party. We do not rely on the support of America's white majority because of its historical and continued defense of imperialist super-profit extraction. But with millions of people struggling for Maoist victory in countries like Peru, Nepal, India, Turkey, Bangladesh, and the Philippines, MIM is not concerned primarily with the size in the imperialist countries. Within the belly of the beast, the imperialists may seem strong, but they are weak because of the world's majority will smash the imperialist system. Similarly, America's majority may not support Mamiya, but certainly the world's majority is standing on the same side against imperialism. At other events at more elite universities, MIM's discussions with oppressor nation students exemplified the necessity of proletarian leadership. Many students got involved in the struggle to free Mamiya because of their own self-interest. Similar to many Vietnam War protesters, these students thought that they could be next. While MIM does not underestimate the state's power to murder revolutionaries, it is important to set students straight on the current reality outside of their elite universities. There already is a war going on. The imperialists are currently engaged in World War III against the Third World and against internal semi-colonies. Police are already gunning down innocent black and Latino youth in the streets. Mamiya's case is typical for black men in America. Black nation members are sentenced to death and summarily executed without ever receiving a fair trial. The American system imprisons black men at a rate nearly 10 times the rate of white male imprisonment. It is fine for activists to become involved temporarily in a progressive struggle for their own reasons, but we must continue to push those allied for their own reasons to take up internationalism and anti-imperialism. MIM makes clear to activists that the struggle goes beyond individual cases. All executions, like all imprisonment under imperialism, are political. Without fighting against imperialism, the system that seeks to execute Mamiya is let off the hook.
This is an essay by Mumia Abu-Jamal entitled A Nation's Gratitude. With Mumia's access to the media limited, this essay is read by the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League. See for yourself why the United Snakes wants to silence revolutionary leader Mumia Abu-Jamal.
A Nation's Gratitude by Mumia Abu-Jamal. Many governments have been founded on principles of subordination and serfdom of certain classes of the same race. Such were and are in violation of the laws of nature. Our system commits no such violation of nature's laws. With us, all the white race, however high or low, rich or poor, are equal in the eyes of the law. Not so with the Negro. Subordination is his place. He is, by nature, or by the curse against Canaan, fitted for that condition which he occupies in our system. Alexander Stevens, Cornerstone Speech, 1861. Delivered after his election as Vice President of the Confederate States. The history of the United States is one that is rife with Stevens' principles, one that is central to the way the nation is organized, formulated, and designed. One may ask, how can you say such a thing, based on an old quote from a rebel, or a politician who was speaking for the South before the end of the Civil War? When one examines history, for generations after the war, we can see echoes of this same spirit, reflections of the same spirit that animated the warriors of the South. Were it not for the militant and determined warrior spirit of black soldiers, however, there would be no United States of America. For without their martial fervor, their committed enemies, who were once their slave masters, would have prevailed in that long and bloody war between the states. Historian Ronald Takaki explains that over 200,000 African American soldiers replenished the depleted Union Army and literally preserved the Union's capability to fight in the spring of 1862. Lincoln reportedly told his aides, "Without those 200,000 black troops, the Union could not survive for 3 weeks." As such, they preserved a state that promptly betrayed them after the war was won. For less than 15 years after the Civil War, there was a brief period known as Reconstruction, when political and economic doors were opened to African Americans. This was seen in the context of a conflict between the Democratic and Republican parties of the period. Democratic politicians ran on the naked platform of white supremacy, seen by the French visitor Georges Clemenceau, as based upon the principle that any Democrat who did not manage to hint that the Negro is a degenerate gorilla would be considered lacking in enthusiasm. General Sherman's Special Field Order No. 15, which set aside the Sea Islands and a part of the coast south of Charleston, South Carolina, for black freedmen, was given 1 year, only to be snatched back the next. From such foul beginnings comes the long memory of black betrayal that is encapsulated in the phrase, 40 acres and a mule. Historian Eric Foner, who has written widely on the period, "The events of 1865 and 1866 kindled a deep sense of betrayal among freedmen throughout the South. Land enough existed, wrote former Mississippi slave Merriman Howard, for every man and woman to have as much as they could work. No land, no house, not so much as place to lay our head. Despised by the world, hated by the country that gives us birth, denied of all our rights as a people, we were friends on the march, brothers on the battlefield, but in the peaceful pursuits of life, it seems that we are strangers." Long after the end of slavery, the memory of this injustice lingered. "The slaves," a Mississippi black would recall, "'spected a heap from freedom they didn't get. They promised us a mule and 40 acres of land." "Yes, sir," agreed a Tennessee freedman. "They should have given us a part of master's land, as us poor old slaves, we made what our masters had." Brothers on the battlefield, but in times of peace, strangers. A manifestation of the spirit of betrayal that moved through race relations in the century after the war between the states. The thank you that the nation tendered was a bitter, sharp slap in the face. Every time that the nation is endangered, it seeks the support of its least valuable citizen. Isn't that insane? This history is a lesson for us all. It is a lesson that was not heard during so-called Black History Month. It is a lesson that should be learned by us all at all times. By Mumia Abu-Jamal.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.